ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And it's interesting what Moses did at the end of his life, because he passed the mantle on to Joshua. In Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 8, this is what we're told. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. So he wanted all to know he's no longer going to be the leader. The mantle is being passed on to this man, Joshua. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, in their land. When he destroyed them, the Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Wow. This great leader, the lawgiver, Moses, is passing the mantle of leadership to Joshua. He was the one going to lead the people into the promised land. And I think Moses built into Joshua skills of leadership, things that he would need to lead this nation. Joshua was going to have to trust in the Lord and walk by faith. And I think the same is true for us. And as God gave Joshua those tools, he gives them to us. We're told this, leadership is always a temporary assignment. Absolutely. It's a temporary assignment because leaders do not ultimately own the teams, ministries, or organizations that they lead. They simply steward what the Lord has entrusted to their care for a season. Wise leaders embrace the temporal reality of leading, and they prepare the ministry for the future. Because the assignment is fleeting, developing others for leadership is an essential responsibility of a leader. Moses understood the temporary nature of leadership and the necessity of succession. He personally selected and invested in leaders. He modeled leadership by replicating leaders. As you read through the scripture, you see Moses pouring into Joshua. Moses brought Joshua up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God. He observed Moses' righteous indignation when Moses smashed the two tablets. And Joshua was witness to the Holy Communion Moses shared with the Lord as he guarded the tent of meeting. Through all these critical moments in the life of God's people, Joshua was there with Moses. Moses helped ensure the following generation would love and fear God. He served his people by pouring his life into another. And immediately after Moses' death, Joshua was ready to lead Israel. I think that's so important. You know, that's how we began Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. That was it. That was the eulogy for Moses. He's gone. Okay, Joshua, you're on deck. You're in the batter's box. You were on deck. You're in the batter's box now. And really, here, Joshua challenges the children of Israel now at the end of his life. You have two choices. There's only two. You're going to follow the Lord, or you're not going to follow the Lord, and you're going to follow these other gods. There's only two. There's not a multitude of choices. This isn't a, you know, lots of decisions. What am I going to do? No, you follow the Lord, or you follow these other gods, these foreign gods. You disobey the Lord. Because he can't serve God and these other gods at the same time. It just doesn't work. And what did they say? No, we're going to serve the Lord. The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. That's what they told Joshua. And we see what happens here in the book of Judges. But already it's not good. In fact, by the time we get to the last few chapters of Judges, the nation's in a mess. And we see the actions, the things that they are doing, the worldliness that had affected and infected their lives. But Joshua's dying. Who's the leader now who's going to be raised up? There isn't one leader. There are many who have a problem with that. Joshua did not raise up a leader to take over for the nation of Israel. I disagree. Moses, yes, trained up Joshua. What did Joshua do? He trained up a nation to follow the Lord. They weren't going to depend on one person. It was their responsibility now to follow the Lord, be directed by the Lord, to obey his word. And that's what a good leader, like I said, should do. Point them to the Lord so they can walk and grow accordingly, depending more and more upon Jesus. You know, several years ago, there was that a doctrine or an idea, a theology flowing through the church. It was called the shepherding movement, where the pastors and the elders were in control of everything you did. If you wanted to get married, you had to go ask the pastor or the elders, is it okay for me to marry this person? Well, let me see. You throw the dirt on the board. Go ahead, marry the person. Ridiculous. If I want to buy a new house, I got to go talk to the pastor or the elders. Is it okay for me to buy a house? If I got to buy a car, what are you doing? You just replaced the Holy Spirit in their lives. The whole idea is to help you to grow and mature in the Lord. So as you're reading God's word, as you're seeking his direction, you go before the Lord. Lord, guide me. Show me what I need to do here. Isn't that far better than trusting in a man? You let the Holy Spirit guide you. And I think that's what, again, Joshua was doing here. He was allowing the people to draw close to God and be directed by God. And, you know, the leadership qualities are pretty amazing when you look at this guy. Again, in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, this is what we're told. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that just the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So the first point here is that Joshua was a leader who was willing to step up to the plate. Why do I say that? Because the Lord said, you know, Moses, my servant, is dead. You're up. And he went forward. God called Joshua, and he was able to take that leadership position since Moses was dead. Look at verse 7 here in Joshua chapter 1. Where it says this, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. So Joshua was a leader who was willing to follow the Lord's direction. And again, that's so important. It wasn't Joshua's idea as well, you know, this looks like a nice place to live in. No, he was guided by the Lord. How? By the word of God. Isn't that how God guides us today? By his word? You know, too often we go, well, I just feel this is the right thing to do. Yeah, but your feeling goes contrary to what God's word has to say. So your feelings are wrong and God is right. But so often we mix that up. Joshua followed the Lord. In verse 13 here in Joshua chapter 1, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Wow, I like that. The idea here is that Joshua was a leader with a vision who had hope in what? He had hope in the promises of God. You know, through Moses, God promised them the land. And in Joshua chapter 1, we see the Lord remind Joshua of this promise. He walked by faith. He knew what the Lord had promised them. And again, his hope was in the promise of God. He didn't think, well, this might happen. We might get this. We might. No, he knew what the Lord promised. Look at verse 16 here in Joshua 1. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that you commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Joshua was a leader who had people who were willing to follow his direction, what he said. Now, please hear me out on this, because this is so important. The only reason they were going to follow Joshua is because Joshua followed the Lord. Today, we have people following pastors and leaders because they're famous, they're popular, they're charismatic. But if they're not following the Lord, why are you following them? You're going to end up in a broom closet, right? You follow the Lord. And if they're not following the Lord, don't follow them. It's as simple as that. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 6 through 8, then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Joshua was a leader who had no problem leading the way. Now, we think, well, yeah, you know, as long as it makes sense. But this didn't make any sense. Remember, the Jordan River at this time of the year was overflowing its banks. It was a raging river, okay? You could hear the thunderous noise it was making as the water went by. They couldn't cross the Jordan because it was too treacherous. So the Lord tells Joshua, get the priest the ark. And when the priest put their feet into the Jordan River, the waters will be stopped. Now, again, as a leader, you have to tell your people that. Guys, could you get the ark and, you know, just step in the Jordan? Are you kidding me? Look at the waters. No, they didn't say that. They trusted what Joshua said because Joshua was following the Lord. Again, that's so, so important. In Joshua 18:3, we're told, then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? I like this because Joshua was a leader who challenged those around him. Hey, how long are you going to sit there? Come on, get up, get involved, do something. Isn't that what Paul talked about in Hebrews, that we stir each other up in love and good works? We encourage each other to go forward, to be involved in things, to get involved in ministry, to help out here. That's what Joshua was doing. In Joshua 18:8, the men arose to go away, and Joshua charged those who went to survey the land, saying, go, walk through the land, survey it, and come back to me, that I might cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. Joshua was a leader who encouraged his followers to check things out. And I think for us, it's important. Hey, check out and see how good the Lord is. And how do we do that? We share with them what God is doing in our lives. Oh, man, you got to just trust God here. Look at what God is doing here. And doesn't that fire you up? It encourages you. At least it should. You know, what God has said in his word, he's more than able to bring to pass. In Numbers 14, verses 5 through 12, we're told this, another good point regarding the leadership of Joshua. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. So here we see Joshua was a great leader who had no problem expressing his opinion. I think you kind of know where I come from in that area, right? I have no problem expressing my opinion. And it's not my opinion, it's what the Lord says in his word. You see, here, Moses sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. 10 spies came back and said, the land's great, but there's giants in the land. They have fortified cities. We're like grasshoppers there. We can't survive. And Joshua and Caleb said, oh, the land's great. God's given it to us. Let's go. Joshua, in our day and age, you would think Joshua would say, hey, let's just go with the flow. You know, no one wants to go into the land right now. Everybody's doing it. Let's just follow them. Let's be politically correct. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to tip the boat over, baby, right? I feel like singing. That is exactly what we're not to do. And I realize people say, well, isn't that being hateful and intolerant? No, it's not. It's standing up for the things of God. Jude said that we have to earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. And I'll tell you what, I see that happening so much today where people are just giving in, letting it go. Who cares? God does. You know, have you noticed the new trend in churches today? It's all dark. It's like a movie theater. There's no lights. Except for right up here. Are you kidding me? The idea is, well, we got to get the millennials to come in so we make it dark because they like it. Hey, if I make it dark, you guys are going to sleep. There's no way. Why do we want to make it dark? Isn't God light? So now we made the place dark. Oh, Joe, you're going overboard here. Am I? Because if it's dark, can you read your Bibles? No. Isn't that interesting? Now you have to trust that what I'm saying is from here. I want you to look at your Bibles. I want you to read your Bibles because it keeps me accountable. I am not God. I am human. I make mistakes, okay? I don't know anyone who has not made a mistake except, of course, the Lord. So that's so important. You don't go with the flow. You do what's right. And what victories God gave the children of Israel in the promised land. But again, those pockets of resistance that needed to be dealt with. And we see here in Judges chapter 1 that the children of Israel ask who? They ask the Lord who should go and fight against the Canaanite pockets of resistance. You see, they didn't have the national leader. And they had to all go before the Lord and seek him on an individual level. And it wasn't a bad thing to go to. It was important, I think, for them. And so I think Joshua was a great leader because he got the people not to look to man, but to God for their direction. And if I do that with you, if that's what I help you to do, praise God, because that's what it's about. If you look to me for every decision that you make, then I'm not doing something right. You need to bring it before the Lord. You need to pray. I'm not saying you can't ask questions with people. Of course you can. But you bring it always before the Lord, and you let the Lord guide you by his Spirit through his word. But here's the problem when we elevate a man. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. I know you're saying we'll never get through Judges this way, but yeah. We will. Don't worry. We will. Confidence. Because I want to show you what happens, even with godly people, how they can lose focus of God and be so focused upon a man. And I'm going to pick up in Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1, where we're told this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged or atoned for. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. I'm just going to stop there for a minute, because I think this is important. In the year King Uzziah died, it says Isaiah saw the Lord. Why did it take the death of this godly king for Isaiah to see the Lord? Did you ever think about that? First of all, you have to understand a little bit about King Uzziah. He was a good king for the most part. Most of his life he was followed the Lord. He was a blessing to the southern kingdom of Judah. In fact, 2 Kings 15:3 says that King Uzziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. 52 years he led the nation to the point of being a military power. Economically, they were strong. The land was fertile. He invented military weapons. He had strong military leaders. They gained territory from their enemies. And thus, Isaiah, I think, and the rest of the nation grew up under the leadership of a great man. And I think they probably looked to this man for security. It wasn't bad, but they forgot about the Lord. And when Uzziah became complacent with his relationship with the Lord towards the end of his life, I think the nation did as well. And when he died, it was kind of like the end of an era. You know, in 1914 in Europe, as they were thrown into World War I, all those times of prosperity in Europe were being cast aside. And Sir Edward Grey saw what had taken place, the significance of it all, and this is what he wrote. The lamps are going out all over Europe. We shall not see them lit again in our lifetime. I think that's what happened when King Uzziah died. The light of the nation was going out. It was a defining moment for Isaiah because we're told that in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. As this earthly king died, Isaiah saw the sovereign Lord. His eyes were open to the true king who was seated upon the throne. And I think this is where really, truly Isaiah's ministry began. In the year King Uzziah died, when he saw the Lord. And again, today what we like to do is hold up a man instead of the living God, and it can be dangerous. Where is this man leading you? You know, when I was growing up as a Christian, and I'm still growing up, I looked to men like Pastor Chuck Smith and my pastor, Phil Ballmeyer. And the reason this is so important is they were teaching me about God, but they weren't drawing me to them. They were pointing me to the Lord. It wasn't about them. It wasn't about their abilities. It was about God. And sitting and listening as a new Christian to Pastor Phil teach the Word of God, verse by verse through the Bible, it was the most amazing thing. I mean, I loved hearing God's Word taught, and I still love hearing it, and I love teaching it. And I think for Joshua, I think that's what he was doing, is pointing people to the Lord. Guys, you got to choose who you're going to serve. Is it going to be these pagan gods, or is it going to be the true and living God? You choose for yourself this day. And what we have to be careful is, as great as some of these, you know, leaders and pastors are in their teaching and their abilities and so on, is this: have you placed someone or something, a Uzziah, you might say, on this throne, and then the situation died, and the hope is lost? There's no more life on the throne, and the throne is empty, I should say, and you are too. You know, people were, and I'm not sure even why, but they're like, oh, what's going to happen when Pastor Chuck dies? Well, what do you mean, what's going to happen? We're just continuing on because we're not following. I'm so thankful for a man who is faithful all those years in ministry. But he's a man, and he's with the Lord now. And we continue on in the work, and we build people up so they can pass that on, and they could pass that on, and so on, the things of God. You see, maybe you're here this morning because you've placed a Uzziah in your life and it's clouding your picture of God. And maybe it's time that you kind of need to put to death that relationship so you can see that the Lord is seated upon the throne, high and lifted up, in the train of his robe fills the temple. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. He's living. And I think if once we remove that Uzziah, and I'm not saying you eliminate them from your life, but you don't place them on the throne where God is seated, that man, it's amazing what God does. Because the only way you're really going to see the Lord is to get rid of those things.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.